Hello, homies, and welcome to another episode of Kill Your Yo-Yo, brought to you by Hollywood Modern Yo-Yos. You can find us at modernyoyos.com, and that is the home of all of your premium, affordable yo-yo hardware. We got bearings, we got pads, we're getting axles, we've got all really, really good hardware for really, really cheap, so that you can buy a bunch of it and replace it when it goes out, so you don't have bad hardware in your yo-yos. You know how you get all those like worn out things? Yeah, no more of that. Go to modernyoyos.com, get it in bulk, and you'll get really, really good hardware from us at a price that you won't believe. So we're also on modern_yo-yos on Instagram, so check us out there. But that's enough advertising. Let's talk about our guest today. It's Katie Thompson. You all know Katie Thompson. She just burst onto the scene one day. She wasn't there for so long, and then one day on Instagram, it's like, oh my god, who is this girl who keeps posting like minute-long freestyles all perfectly choreographed to music? How is she doing this? Where did she come from? Why wasn't she posting for like 10 years? How did she just appear out of nowhere? It's because she's Katie Thompson, and you're going to hear all of the explanations as to why. She's currently the national champion in the U.S., and she's just a fantastic yo-yoer. She was on my team for a time. It was an excellent time. Now, she's on Yo-Yo Factory. Like, can you believe it? She's incredible. She's the real deal. And I can't wait for you to hear everything that she has to say. She is an excellent, excellent performer and athlete and just an inspiration to us all. She's founding clubs. She's incredible. I'm going to stop introducing her and just let you hear everything that she has to say. Soak it up like a sponge, because she's got a lot of good insight. So I can't wait to introduce to you the one and only Katie Thompson. Hey, Katie, how's it going? Welcome to the show.
Good. It's good to be here, man.
I'm so excited to have you on. You know, I've been wanting to have you on for a long, long time, and the show keeps going on hiatus and out of hiatus, and here we are. Finally have you back. Brand new microphone.
Yay.
And you're here. So let's get started with, as we always do, with your yo-yo origin story, how you got into yo-yoing, how you found yo-yoing, how it found you, anything along those lines.
Yeah. So I started yo-yoing when I was in eighth grade. I remember it very well. It was in like the second semester of eighth grade, like mid-semester. And this group of people, you might have heard of them, they were called the Ned Show. Mm-hmm. And the Ned Show aims to like travel around to middle schools, like they're yo-yoers, and they like use tricks and stuff to like they put on shows like during assemblies for the kids. And like Ned stands for never give up, encourage others, do your best. And like that logo is like imprinted on the yo-yos that they sell. Mm-hmm. And I have one of those yo-yos, still have it. That's what I learned my first like picture tricks on. I think I learned trapeze on it too. Mm-hmm. So still have that. And I just remember like watching all the things that they were doing. Like I remember seeing the Eiffel Tower, and they did like all the basic stuff like around the world, Eli Hop, and like some other stuff that just like blew my mind, you know. Mm-hmm. As like someone who's never seen it before kind of tricks. So I remember being really, really hyped about it afterwards. And they sold like their yo-yos and like other toys like through the school's office for like the following week. So mm-hmm. I just bought their stuff from there. And I bought a trick DVD and a yo-yo, and just basically took it home and just started learning tricks. And I haven't really stopped since then, really.
You're not the first who got started with Ned, and I'm sure you won't be the last. And they are doing such a good job to promote yo-yoing across the U.S. And you grew up in California, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Central Cal. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yes, in Cal, over by the Yosemite area. I live in the mountains, very secluded, small town kind of. Yeah, so
Which
I'm far
I
away.
think probably had an impact on some of the future stuff that we'll be talking about through this episode. Just kind of being away from other yo-yoers, but so cool that they came out and got that you got that experience and got started through them. And yeah, I think we can all appreciate what it's like being a kid and seeing some yo-yos come through, and you're like, oh, they're gonna do some dumb yo-yo tricks, and they start doing all the like really cool stuff.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I need to know.
What?
Oh man. Well, that's awesome. So after you got your first yo-yo, you worked your way through the Ned DVD, learned your first couple tricks, and like, who were your inspirations after that? What took you from I'm gonna start doing a little bit to I'm gonna really learn the good tricks? Like, when, what was that tipping point, and who are the inspirations who you start to learn from?
When did I start to take it more serious? So I remember the first year I started, I remember like yo-yoing like really hard through that summer, and then when my freshman year started, like I took a lot of time off from yo-yoing. Like I spent the entire freshman year without yo-yoing really until the following summer, where like I started to get bored again, so I started yo-yoing again, and then I started like actually looking stuff up, like yo-yo videos and stuff, like wanting to get into it more, learning more, and so that was, let's see, that was 20, I think that was 2014. Yeah, it was summer 2014, and of course that's the year that Gentry won, so of course he had a huge impact. I started trying to do a lot of the things he was doing, like so like honestly, all the like probably one of the major reasons why performance is so important to me, and like hitting things to beats and making it look good, it's probably all because of him, to be honest.
He really
Just
is
because
a
like he was the main guy for that at the time.
Has he really stopped? His style is definitely very showy, very competitive, and he's so good at hitting those beats and making it look really clean and good. And I think that's something that I noticed when I first started seeing you post, was just you weren't like, you weren't going halfway in. You were trying to like really get the good stuff. And I definitely saw that Gentry inspiration. Even if I didn't detect it at the time, like I saw, I'm like, this looks like somebody who is just crazy competitive, who is trying the hard stuff and not trying to just go on the easy path. And so that totally reads with learning from Gentry. Was there anybody else, or was it mainly him?
In the early years,
And since then,
and since
if there's
then,
anyone that you really are into now.
well, if we're talking like within the past few years, like 2020 specifically, like when Connor Seals did his it was that one online contest during the time that Worlds was supposed to be. So it was that one, his one, the Centuries. I fell absolutely in love with that performance. It was also one of my favorite songs anyway. So I kind of latched onto that, and like I can't tell you how many times I watched that and just try to recreate some of his stuff. That's when I started to watch like some of his other stuff, like his 2019, his Nationals 2019 performance. I really like that one. So yeah, he was a big one. I started doing like more and more neck tricks after that, because that's kind of what he's famous for. Let's see. If we're talking the past like half year, it's been like Chen Ying and Hunter Fierstein. So,
So not a bad selection.
Or
all the new gen just crazy players. I know you're into Mir, who isn't, as well. Well, that's great. So lots of excellent inspirations, awesome backstory, of course. What is it that kind of draws you to yo-yoing specifically? Because I know that you've done a lot, and we'll get into that. You do a lot of different activities, but what about yo-yoing just draws you in and keeps you throwing?
I could say a lot on that topic.
Good.
Let's see. Well, I mean, I like the creativity of it. I feel like when I remember getting to a point where like I was transferring out of the, instead of just learning from these tutorials online, I'm actually gonna create my own stuff. I was kind of in that stage, transferring out of that and into doing my own stuff. I just love the feeling of making my own stuff and coming up with new ways in and out of mounts, and just like, dang, you can literally do anything with this toy. Like, it's endless what you can do with it.
I always love with that you can learn one new trick or one new move, and then you start like plugging it into everything else that you already know, and it just feels like everything's just expanded by so much, and you find all these new paths that you never found before.
And like in yo-yoing and other skill toys, that makes it different from like other sports, like team sports is like when you're on a team sport, like baseball, basketball, football, whatever it is. It's like, I feel like an athlete reaches a point where like, they can go pro, but like once you like reach pro, like what else are you doing after that? You've kind of mastered all the like techniques, all the like, but I feel like it gets to a point like professionally for them, like there's nothing more for them to learn. I don't know, I feel like that. I could be wrong, but I feel like there gets to a point where they're
you start hitting against the rules.
The other hand,
you can't get too creative in basketball. You don't want to like dunk from behind the hoop or something like that.
You can't score like extra points in basketball by being able to dribble between your legs really well. You don't get points for your team by making dribbles look good. You get points by scoring it in the baskets.
Yeah.
And yo-yoing, it's like you have to make it look good. You got to be creative. And like, I think it's cool that there's a sport like yo-yoing that just like there's endless possibilities. And again, it's limitless. There's like once you turn pro at whatever point you are in your career, there's like always more to learn, because you know, it's limitless. New tricks are created every day. There's no way that one like yo-yo player can learn every single trick that has ever been created, like ever in the history of the game in their lifetime, because it's impossible.
Yeah, there's too many. Not enough time in the day.
Yeah,
and then to actually learn and qualify all those tricks is a whole other story.
That's what I just love about it.
It's interesting.
What else could I say about yo-yoing?
Well, if you come up with anything, do you have anything else off the top of your head?
Oh, accessi- uh, accessibility is also a big one for me. Like how easy it is to just like do it. You can yo-yo at midnight. You can yo-yo at 6 a.m. if you want, or like any time of day. You can
You can
yo-yo at
yo-yo in line at
church or
Subway.
on vacation in line at Subway or
Yeah.
yeah. So anywhere you want. And like I mean, with other sports, they're like, I feel like sport teams are limited to like their specific hours, like they're supposed to be at the field or the gym, and like when it's when and like when they're done, they go home. Like everyone has like the same amount of practice time, but for a yo-yoer, you could do it like literally 12 hours a day if you want. You could do it
And
all day.
Hunter Fürstein does.
Yep. I mean, some days I can get up there too. It just depends on how busy I am. I feel like I yo-yo every day. It just the length of time is different every day. So it could be a few minutes. It could be 8 hours. It just depends how free I am on the day.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
it shows just in your skill level and how quickly, I mean, just from the first time I saw you posting to where you are now, it, and you were already so good, and now you're like just at this crazy, crazy level. It's amazing, seeing your progression, which obviously comes from your practice schedule. Which do you want to talk about a little bit about what your practice schedule looks like?
Sure.
Yeah.
Since we're on the topic,
Mm-hmm.
let's see. So as I was saying, I try to yo-yo every day. The time is just different, but also when I practice, like I feel like my practices usually are either like one of three things. It's either I'm either doing practice for a specific freestyle that I'm working on, like literally like grind that for the entire practice session. Just like pick one beforehand and just go into that one, do it. Or it's like I'm having a creative practice, which is like where I'm intentionally trying to create new elements, create new combos, or I'm like looking at an element in this tutorial I saw and trying to do that, just like trying to add new stuff to my trick set. So I'm like really, really intentional on like that side. And the third way I like to practice is where it's like the chill fun practice. I literally just put my headphones in. I don't really have a direction of like what I'm doing really. Doesn't matter what I'm working on. I just listen to the music. I get lost in it and I just yo-yo. I
So
just do what I feel like in the moment.
this meshes perfectly with an episode I'm working on where I describe the difference between practice and rehearsal. And everything you're saying right there, besides I have a routine that I'm working on and I'm going to do it, like that's a rehearsal right there. Everything else, as far as the framework I'm going to put in that episode, everything else is practice that you're just, I'm going to put in my earbuds, I'm going to work on this element, I'm going to try to get this trick down, like outside of I'm getting ready for this particular performance.
Yeah.
Because that, and just going to throw that in there because it's a perfect example of what that episode is all about. Which will be coming up soon. But that's awesome. I also love to just put in earbuds and just meander, just see what comes out depending on the music. What music do you tend to listen to?
What's the genre?
I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I feel like artists I listen to a lot are like Maroon 5, Fall Out Boy, Imagine Dragons,
I know that it's that
Coldplay,
big stadium pop rock kind of style.
Yeah, the pop, and you got like Taylor Swift, Katy Perry,
Oh,
like
yeah.
all those kinds. So like the pop culture music, I guess you can call it. Anything that makes you want to dance, I like.
Yeah. I like to describe those as like music that sounds big. Like it sounds very
Yeah.
big. Like it can really fill the space. It works so well with yo-yoing, also with
Yep.
magic. So good. Same. Which for me, that's not like the music that I listen to normally, but when I'm yo-yoing, that's all. It's
Oh,
what
yeah.
works. It works so good. Wow. So, kind of to bring back to what you were saying earlier about why you love yo-yoing and how it's like your sport of pre your sport of preference, which to me indicates a fundamental, and it's something I know, it's a fundamental difference on how we look at yo-yoing. That to you, it is a sport. It's something that you're an athlete in, that you're working to hone your skills and become the best. And to me, it's like, this wishy-washy, artsy-fartsy kind of thing that I like to mess around and see what it does and see how it links in with juggling and magic and everything. I like the theory side. And so tell me, tell me about how yo-yoing links in with your competitive background, because I know that you're an athlete, right? Talk to us a little bit about what other sports that you do, and how you approach those and how they affected your thoughts on yo-yoing.
Okay, so I've been an athlete for my entire life. I played softball all throughout high school and college. So, yeah, I played softball for a really long time. And I feel like with yo-yoing, like, I mean, from college sports, you just learn the importance of like time management, working hard, and like why you do it, the reasons behind it, and like personal empowerment, discipline. It's really important, and I just feel like with yo-yoing, I have to apply those same like ideas to like this hobby, because it's how you get better. Like, I love sweating after your yo-yo practice. That's how I know I put good work in. And you've seen me in my videos wear like athletic attire. I'm wearing the short pants and the athletic running shoes and the headbands and the dry fit tees. I love wearing those, 'cause like I wore that stuff when I would work out for softball. That's just what you do when you work out. And when I know I'm about to go into an intense yo-yo session where I know I'm going to be doing it for a while, I just wear those same clothes, 'cause it's a workout in my mind is what I think of it.
The ritual of putting that on kind of gets you into the right mindset,
Yeah.
plus
Yeah.
knowing that you have the clothes that can handle anything that you're about to do. Like you got clothes made for sweating and really putting in the effort, and that are comfy enough that you can move. That's really important. Which also to that point, you do very big tricks. Do you have a space that's conducive to that, with like tall ceiling, far away walls?
It's okay. I feel like my ceiling could be a little taller. I feel like my room right now is adequate enough to do all my tricks. I feel like if it was somewhat any smaller, I would start to have issues, but I think right now it's fine. I feel like at some point I should start like doing a thing where I like practice outside more, just so, 'cause sometimes I want to be able to walk when I'm doing my front style combo, and I can't really do that in here. So that's kind of limiting. When I'm doing my one overhead like hop trick, I kind of have to be careful how high I hop it in here.
Same. I know that problem well. Oh man. Well, so something else just about that competitive mindset, to go back to that for a sec. In how you approach yo-yoing, I see a lot of other people who are into yo-yoing and don't have that mindset about it. And they often will get caught up in this thing of like, eh, I can't learn a new trick. Oh, I just feel stuck in where I'm at with my yo-yo progression. And with you, I've always really admired how you look at yo-yoing as, mm-hmm. as something that you are constantly improving at. And so it just with how I've seen it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it seems that you're less caught up on, oh, I can't learn this next trick. Because first of all, you can learn that next trick, and you often do learn that next trick. But mm-hmm. If you don't have something to practice, it seems like that mindset would lead to, I'm just going to do what I've already done better. I'm going to try to hit it mm-hmm. cleaner. I'm going to try to hit it again and again and again, and just focus on drilling down into it. Would that be about accurate? Is there anything else you would add to that?
I would say, yeah, I really want to be consistent. Something I just remembered from sports is one of my coaches back when I was like a freshman, one of my softball coaches, one thing he said to me once that like for some reason really stuck was you can either be good at three sports or you can mm-hmm. be great at one. And I really took that to heart because like a lot of my friends like played softball and also did other sports, and like I'm thinking, okay, this means that I could do softball year round and get really, 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 really good at it, or I can only be good at three sports if I want to do more than one sport. And mm-hmm. I feel like transferring that to yo-yoing, my mindset is, okay, pick a style, it's 1A, now you're going to grind it and get really, really, really good at it.
Yeah.
Now I know some people might say, well, doing other styles gets you like more creative for 1A because you can apply aspects of other styles into like other styles, uh-huh. which I get, I understand. I haven't really played with another style in years just because I've been so focused on 1A, and I don't know, maybe later I'll be interested in it, but right uh-huh. now it's just I just want to focus on 1A. My mindset is if I start spending time on 4A, it's a day where I'm not getting better at 1A.
You're gonna get good at both of them and not great at one.
Yeah, so yep. That's kind of what my mindset is. I mean, I totally understand the other side. I understand the good parts of doing other styles. I get it. But I just like, right now for me personally, it's good. I would just rather get really good at one thing because I just feel like that's how you grow in something. If you dabble at like too much other things in life, it hinders the possibility of growth in like everything. But that's just
totally
my take. I don't know.
That.
I know a lot.
Well, I know the feeling because that's me. I dabble in everything and I'm all right at all of them. I can manage in all of them. But yeah, I don't know if there's one thing that's just like, oh man, that's the thing. For me at least. And I see it with you that when you're doing 1A, it's the focus is there and the trick set is there and the ability and skills are there. And to focus all your creative freedom on that will definitely help you in the long run. although that's if you're looking at it from a competitive standpoint. And for me, it's like, mm-hmm. if I'm performing, I have to know a little bit of everything because people are going to expect mm-hmm. it. And so, mm-hmm. so that's kind of what I would say to that as far as mm-hmm. the other side, but it completely makes sense for where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on that point of maybe anything else that your coach has said that stuck with you? It's okay if there's not. Or maybe things
not that
from how you practiced volleyball in the past? Sorry, was it volleyball?
Softball.
Softball. Sorry. If not, I got another question waiting.
I forgot what the original question was that even led to that.
Yeah, your competitive sports background and just how that had an impact on your yo-yoing. Things you learned from that apply.
I think I answered that pretty good.
Yeah, I think we're covered then.
I think.
I can go on to the next one.
Okay.
So let's talk a little. We talked about your practice schedule. Is there any tips that you have for other people on how to practice?
Oh, yeah. It's good. I'm remembering this now because it's a good one. So before I go into like any practice session I'm gonna do, I always have to have like at least one goal in mind. Now it can be as simple as, okay, I'm gonna get this trick filmed and ask someone, like someone who knows how much it scores, or oh, I'm gonna spend a decent amount of time on my horizontal combo, I'm gonna spend time on this or that, maybe look up a song to start playing around with spending a freestyle on. It doesn't matter how big or small the goal is, you just have to have one in mind to like start the practice session. And the reason why is that you don't want to start a practice aimless, because one, like you get the feeling of, oh, you're just going through the motions, doing whatever. You're not, you have to have some kind of aim.
Yeah.
or else you're not doing anything worthwhile, I feel.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it links in with that perfect practice makes perfect. If you don't know what you're practicing, then what's the point of the practice session?
Yeah.
And that I think applies to every kind of yo-yoing. You should at least have a goal, or you can even, it can even be like, I want to focus on this technique. I'll often just think to myself, I want to see, like today I was trying to make some slack tricks that looked like 5A tricks, which is what SEO DM follow does on Instagram. I was like, I want to play around with that and see how many different ways I can do one of those 5A things where you're constantly spinning around the counterweight and then doing hops. I wanted to see how many times I could do that with the slack as the counterweight. And it opened up a lot of different doors just focusing in on that, which is aimless, but it's aimless with a goal.
Well, that's the purpose. The purpose of that would be creativity, trying to come up with something new. That's your goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a goal.
Yeah. Super useful. Well, that's great. So next question for me, which is one that I've always wondered, and I've always wanted to just like ask you directly, is how on earth do you put out so many like freestyles over and over so often? Because when you were like last year, you might be focusing more on creating one perfect freestyle now, but you still post all the time. There was a bit where like it seemed like every three or
like,
four
like
days,
once a week.
Yeah. Like you were just posting a 30-second to 1 minute freestyle perfectly synced to music. How on earth did you do that?
Okay. I remember back in, I believe it started like either late summer or early fall of 2022. And I remember, so of course I graduated college in 22, and right after that was when I said I wanted to really hone in on like competitive yo-yoing and really trying to go into that realm and like doing more on social media and stuff. That's the summer of 22. That's when that really took off. And towards the end of summer, I tried to like take it one step further. You know, what can I do like to push myself to like the creative side? And I thought, what if I started like this thing for myself? What if I said, I am going to post one freestyle to music video it doesn't matter how long it is, maybe 30, 40, 60 seconds, doesn't matter how long it is to a song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the purpose of it would be to like get my mind to constantly choreograph. Like literally the goal of the challenge I made myself was to once a week try to get a music video up in the hopes of building my choreography skills and thinking of it every day, because sometimes some of those videos took me like 3-4 days of practicing straight before I was ready to film it.
Mm-hmm.
Some are easier than others, but like I was really, really intentional. Like I knew, like I had a schedule where I would film like every Wednesday or Tuesday, I think it was. And I had to make sure that I was ready to film by that day. So I had the practice for the days prior, trying to get like each little freestyle perfect enough for me to film. And I guess my motivation was just I don't know, I love music, so I thought it was a fun challenge, just try to get something in every week. And I didn't know the challenge was gonna last a year and a half.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It just turned into like my signature for a while, I guess you could call it. Like, where's Katie's weekly freestyle post? That's kind of what people know from me now. So
yeah.
I got to keep doing it.
Have you kept it up to some extent, or has it slowed down a little bit? Because I know, and if it has, it's not a problem. Like the amount that you're still practicing is still so, so good. And those goals can change over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are slowing down. I feel like the last time I recorded a music video just for fun was like, I think it was the freestyle, the Carol of the Bells, mid-December. Mm. It was like that one intense one I really liked that was just for fun. I haven't really done one since, just because I've been focusing on like my San Diego freestyle that's coming up, or like I really want to start grinding to score higher in my future prelims. Honestly, I feel like ever since the ante contest, I've been grinding on scoring, just because after the contest I knew I could do way, way better. So that's been my focus.
Well, so let's dive into that a little bit, just for a sec. What, because I know that you're talking a lot with Hunter, Justin, Chris, all the Ante crew, and just all kinds of people, I'm sure, about how to score better. What are, for the competitors who listen in, what are some tips that you've learned? And maybe specifically, what would you have done differently for your Ante contest?
So you're asking what I've learned about scoring?
Yeah,
that I
let's
could like
start there.
Say
what's some of the stuff that you've learned about scoring, and maybe some of the specific things that you're grinding on?
Well, I've learned like intricate stuff like tech don't score. I learned that Godspeed doesn't score. I learned that I learned that a lot of body tricks, neck tricks, arm tricks, that's a lot of those are really scoring. I feel like I've been asking a lot of repeat questions to like all those guys, because like I've been getting a lot of things like these things are too similar, you need to take one out, or just like stuff like that. And I feel like I'm learning a lot from those. I feel like I'm I feel like I'm really close to one of my goals for 2024 is to make a prelim that clicks at least 60. So 60
in 60
clicks,
seconds.
60 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least that's one of my goals for 2024 is to do that.
You're definitely on your way. To that point of just the like little. Well, when you say repeat questions, you mean you're asking the same thing over and over, or what is a repeat that doesn't count as a point?
Sorry. I mean, like I'll make a video doing an element, and then right after I'll do an element that looks similar, and then ask if it's a repeat.
I saw
that's
you
what I mean
post
by,
that.
That's what I mean by a repeat question.
I got you. Yeah.
So, sorry, I didn't clarify.
No, that's good. It's good for people listening if they're into competition. It's so important to talk to people who are judges right now, because what I've found is that what scores is whatever the judges think scores. Like it's constantly changing. And so you have to really talk to the people who are judging and competing right now to find out what's scoring right now, or else you're just not going to know, because yo-yoing is constantly evolving. That's why the anti-chat is really, really good for anyone into competition. I highly suggest.
Oh yeah,
people
I am all over
Discord
that.
For that, yep,
I'm all over that. They're probably sick and tired of me posting by now.
there's little things like if you land a 2.0 hook, then you get points for that, and then if you land a 2.5 hook, you also get points
Explores
for that.
Less.
But if you do a 2.0 hook and then you do a 2.0 if you do a 2.0 hook and then a 3.0 hook, then you only get 1 point for the 3.0 because it's the same trick as a 2.0. But the 2.5 is different than the 2.0, so each of those are 2 points. And then if you do a perfect transition from a 2.0 to a 2, there's all this like tiny little subtlety that you really have to talk about with the judges to figure
that's
out
that's what I'm learning right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, you always have to do your hardest version of whatever trick you can do, and then not do anything like that again, basically.
Yeah.
Literally a few days ago, I just learned that, when I'm doing like my horizontal laceration binds, I have to remember not to do one like just like regular vertical in a freestyle. Like when I do those binds, I can't do those binds again ever.
Yeah.
I have to do some other binds.
If you hit it horizontal, then you might as well do a different bind that scores when you're not in horizontal mode.
Yeah.
Or else you won't get the points for it, because it's easier when it's not in horizontal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I currently have a 2.5 normal whip and then a 2.5 horizontal whip in my routine, and so that horizontal whip is going to get 1 point even though it should be 3 as a example. But yeah, so that's definitely something for people listening in. And one final thing that I'll say is scoring system still subjective and kind of dumb, and I don't like it still. The more I look into it, the more I'm like, oh yeah, it's just made up every time. Every year, the new set of people just makes it up again. But there's some consistency. Anyway, oh, that's so good. So let's talk a little bit. We covered kind of your competitive, the things that you're learning by doing more competitive stuff. Let's talk a little bit about you. I don't think I talked about this yet. There was like a decade where you were yo-yoing and you just didn't tell anyone, it seems like. You're kind of like just doing it on your own, getting really, really cracked at yo-yoing. And then one day you just appeared on Instagram and everyone's like, who is this? How is she so good? So can you talk a little bit about why that happened, how that happened, anything along those lines? If you were lurking behind the scenes watching people?
Yep. So, so I started in eighth grade. That was 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And the year after that, I started high school, and that was also the year I got heavily involved in the softball that started to become like my number one focus. So like, I feel like from 2013 to like the 2020, kind of like that range, like softball was my number one focus. So like as intense that I practice yo-yoing now. That's what I did for softball back then, that kind of same level of intensity. And around softball also led me to go to college because I wanted to play softball in college. And I spent 5 years in college, and about in the year of 2020 was my third year at school. And around that time, that was when COVID happened, obviously. It actually put my entire softball season on hold. It was kind of like really sad for some of my teammates because we were in mid-season and we were really hyped, but then it just like died. And I was kind of like, I really hate to say it, but it was almost kind of like a gift in disguise for me, because around that same era, I just felt like I wasn't like progressing with softball as much as I wanted. Like, I started getting into like these weird slumps. Like, I wasn't batting as well as I could, like getting the on base percentage that I wanted, or like I wasn't like throwing as well. Like, accuracy in games for some reason wasn't there, and like I was experiencing all these things and like getting bummed. So I guess burnout happened for me, unfortunately. And that 2020 season was when like I hit like an all-time low in my softball career, where I was like, I just feel like I'm almost done with this. Like I can't take any more heartbreak, to be honest. Like, can't take any more of it. Just like, kind of sad. Didn't know what to do with my life. And then COVID happened, which like stopped it all. And
So you didn't
there
have to
was
back
like,
out, it backed out
yeah,
itself.
it backed out itself. And for the last 2 months of school, we were put on like we were forced to stay in our dorms for like 2 months. We weren't, well, we were allowed to leave. We just weren't allowed on campus. So everything reverted to online. And at the time, I didn't have a car. So I literally stayed there at my college dorm for like 2 months straight to finish out the school year. And during that time, I just felt like I started to ask like serious questions, you know, what I want to do with my life and like stuff I really want to do like after school, because I knew my like softball college career was coming to an end. What am I going to do after? Stuff like that. And then I was like, you know, I've had this other hobby that I've been doing for years, but never actually spent a seriously amount of time on it. And, you know, it's just this toy in my room right now. I
What could I
should
do with
start.
this?
So, especially because I was just in my room a lot of time, bored when I was doing homework. So that was when I started, okay, I'm gonna start practicing more and more, and like really get into it. And it was like that easy of a decision for me, because I always used yo-yoing as like back in that era. I would only yo-yo when I wasn't at softball practice or doing homework or at school. It was like kind of the after thing after all those things. But then like I feel like sometime during March of 2020, this flip switched in my brain, and like all of a sudden, yo-yoing is the priority. Like, so that's when that kind of thing happened for me. That 2020 was also the year that I started getting on Facebook. Like, Gentry Stein had started that Yo-Yo Gang Facebook group. I got on that year. I guess you could say that was the first time I ever started doing, posting something on social media. I wasn't at Instagram yet. Fast forward a couple years. Again, I graduated in 2022, and I already knew that, okay, once I graduate college, I'm going to start doing the yo-yo competitive thing. I'm going to start doing the posting thing that everybody does and see what happens, see where it takes me.
It totally leaves, because it's almost like you stopped softball, didn't change yourself at all, just changed the sport, didn't change how you dressed for it, you just transplanted the exact same mentality from your athletic career straight into yo-yo, because you're like, yeah, this is another sport, let's do this sport instead.
Yep.
Like, it totally makes sense. It explains so much. And so would you say that you were kind of like on the same path back then? Like, were you still trying to land really competitive tricks and still viewing it as a sport, or was it just a hobby to you back then before you switched?
Before 2020, I didn't have, I would still there. I still had a lot of practice sessions where I would like sweat. But as far as focusing on types of tricks I do, like specifics, that wasn't really there yet.
Okay.
That wasn't really a goal yet at that time. I feel like I was still at the monkey stage, Ross, I see what I do, or I do
see,
what
do.
I see other people, what I do. I was at that stage. I felt like,
For listeners,
wasn't at chameleon yet.
Yes. for listeners, I have an episode that's the five stages of a yo-yoer's development. And how's it go? I think it's monkey stage, where it's monkey see, monkey do, cat stage where you start getting curious, beaver stage where you start like adjusting and creating your own stuff. And then after chameleon. That is chameleon, where you can kind of do everything. And then
I'm Evan Nagao.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna pretend I'm Hunter.
Yeah, you know you're at that level when it's like, well, I won't go too deep into the episode. The last one is unicorn, where you understand it all and the theoretical side of why it all works. And so you can go listen to that episode if you want. But yeah, I see that you were just like, watch trick, learn trick, do trick. Yay, I did the trick.
Yeah.
And then something switched. it also reads perfectly that with what you were saying earlier about like you can do yo-yo everywhere, it makes sense that would be your choice for 2020, because you can't put a softball field in your apartment.
Like, right, yep. Yep.
You can just start whipping out a yo-yo though, with no team, nothing, just you and a yo-yo.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that is an excellent journey that you've been on since then. And I'm so glad that you joined. I'm so happy. We don't deserve you, Katie.
Aw.
You're amazing.
I love you, Ross. I love you so much.
Oh my God, absolutely. Likewise. So let's talk about some of the sources that you do learn tricks from, maybe back then, and where you learn from now.
Sources.
Yeah.
Where
like, are
I
you just going
from?
Out and watching freestyles and try to recreate the tricks, or do you like go on Yo Tricks and go trick by trick from there? Is there anywhere, or do you like learn from friends now?
I haven't learned from tutorials in a long time.
So you're just making them yourself?
Yeah.
Perfect.
When I make new stuff, it consists of, okay, like as far as like clicking goes, I'm like, okay, you do an element, and then, okay, how can I get out of it, but it also be a click? Like, I can't just get out of this element and then in a trapeze, I have to do something cooler to make it click.
Yeah.
And that's
you can't just recapture
my mindset. No. Yeah, so that's how I've been creating my tricks.
That's perfect. So it's almost like you're just taking the meta and and adjusting it to your own style.
Yeah.
Get that, get those clicks up. That's perfect. Uh-huh. So let's also talk a little bit about, you are the U.S. national champion right now. So let's talk mm-hmm. a little bit about 2023. What was Nationals 2023 like? I remember at the time you're still on the team, and like we had a couple people manning the booth, and I wouldn't even ask you because you were just so focused on practicing. you were like earbuds in, get in the practice space and go drill it. So I mean, that was from my perspective. What was it like for you? How would you prepare? How would you make your routine? Anything?
Nationals was so crazy for me. So many emotions. just like meeting everybody for the first mm-hmm. time. Like, you know, it's one thing to text people, but for them to actually be in front of you, whole other thing.
Yeah.
I just feel like that entire weekend I was in a dream state. Like I was out of my body. Like I mean that first night, Friday night, I just mm-hmm. like I felt the need to be like everybody else. So when I saw people on stage like warming up, I was like, okay, I have to go do that. Like I have to start laying down on my tricks in front of people, because apparently that's what you do at these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, got some stage time, and it was just such a joy to just talk to people. I think one of the first people I said hi to was Betty.
Uh-huh.
And again, like totally a dream, like finally.
You had to actually meet her. I don't know if people know that was your first contest.
Yep.
It was like first ever contest, first ever probably group with other yo-yoers in person, yep. Right?
I've never talked to a single yo-yoer in person before that ever.
Wow. And they just walk in and win the whole thing. Oopsies.
Yeah. Oopsies. So, that win was very emotional for a number of reasons. I mean, it's really cool to win your first contest. But like, even beyond that, like, it was like such a big deal that I went on stage in the first place.
Yeah.
Because not sure if you knew, but like, I have the like worst track record when it comes to like doing stuff in front of people or on stage of any kind. Like mm-hmm. I had to take a public speaking class in college. I don't know how I passed that class. I did so horrible in it. It was just like my worst subject ever in school. I absolutely hated it. I just mm-hmm. like, anytime I had to, I just wanted to like run away, just because that's how much I hated it. So like, honestly, the biggest thing like for me with that was like, not the fact that I won, but the fact that I actually went on stage was like the biggest deal, and like not running away.
That was a very stable,
emotional part. Thank you. I was shaking inside.
Mm-hmm. It's nerve wracking on that stage.
Yeah. Yeah. And another big thing was like, so I have autism too. So like, it makes me like really, really introverted, and like not really know how to like handle social situations, or like I feel like it makes me like all the more not wanting people to see me or like be the center of attention or anything. I feel like that contributes to that desire to like not be seen. Mm-hmm. So I really had to like push through that. So like I remember like a week or even a few days prior to Nationals, when I was like trying to like submit my music, I was like having second thoughts. Should I really try to compete for women? Should I really try to compete for, like, should I really try? I don't know. It's my first contest. Maybe I should just watch. I don't know.
Yeah.
but I ended up doing both anyway and did well.
You did so good. You were one away from making finals in
or semifinals.
Yeah, semifinals. I like, oh my God. It was so, so good. And I say that because next year you're gonna hit that mark. I know it. I'm stating it on the record because it's what's gonna happen. I know you and I know what you're capable of, and you're gonna do it. I'm very excited to see it happen. But yeah, oh my God. So anything else about Nats 2023?
The freestyle I did was kind of, I kind of thought about that last minute, like maybe a month prior or a few weeks prior. What I basically did was, so what we were talking about earlier, I did like yo-yo freestyle videos once a week and posted them. So I went back to like all the ones I've done from the past year, and I like picked out my two favorites that I really liked. Mm-hmm. It was the song was Flow Rider and Believer from Imagine Dragons. So those are my two favorites. And I also noticed that, oh, these also have like different tricks. Like I don't do that trick in this other freestyle, and I don't do that trick in this other one. So I was like, okay, there's a good like variety in that one. I could probably make this work. Mm-hmm. So I put both the two soundtracks on the same track and just mm-hmm. made it 2 minutes in length, and that's just what I did.
It worked. It looked really good.
Yay.
That's awesome. And just for prepping for that, did you just start with the songs and then build tricks around it?
When I first like originally made them, I think I feel like back when I did do the once a week freestyle thing, the song always came first.
Uh-huh.
Like the tricks came after the song, because when I choreograph, like I have to have the song playing in my head first while I'm building like the trick set, because I sing it in my head while I'm doing the tricks to see if this trick fits into that part of the song. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I need to take out an element or add an element to make it the desired length that I want. So so the song comes first.
Which I think I've heard you say that you, when you're prepping, you'll sometimes put a timer on, see how long this element or this segment lasts, and then
I have done that, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to throw that in because I loved it when you said it. It's something that I think anybody can do to help. You think about your segments of tricks as like Lego bricks, and you're just snapping together those
yep.
bricks to fit within the song. But less yep. so if you're trying to choreograph to make sure you hit those music cues. I always struggle with choreographing myself.
It's my favorite part.
I can tell. And you have so much experience doing it now. So like when it comes to making your new freestyles, having had that period of time where you were just posting every single week, that has to have made you so attuned to creating really good choreography. And it showed in your freestyle, uh-huh. in your 2 minute mm-hmm. at Nats.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we'll continue to get to see that. So if anybody listening wants to try something to get them good, that is one thing to try.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. It was so good to get to see you there. And yeah, let's talk a little about outside of competition. You have the Central California Yo-Yo Club, and then also another little mm-hmm. club that you've been founding mm-hmm. at your old middle school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell me about those.
Okay. Yeah, we have the SynCal Yo-Yo Club now, located in a Fresno area. It's about an hour from me.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Nando, that's his Insta handle. He started that, or maybe he's Nando Yo-Yos now, I forget, but he founded that. Our first club meeting was, I think it was July. I think was just last July was our first ever club meeting. Which was awesome timing because I just met him at Nationals, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm trying to start a club together here," and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, perfect timing! Couldn't have been more perfect." So yeah, I've been going to that every month. Haven't missed one.
And
We've been getting a pretty good.
for people listening, the Instagram is CENCALYOYO Club, CLUB. So Sen Cal Yo-Yo Club. So you haven't missed one yet? And are they monthly? Perfect.
We have a Facebook too under the same name.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so he posts updates there.
How many people tend to show up?
Well, because we're still kind of new, we've been getting maybe 9 or 10 yo-yoers around there each month. Maybe a little less, maybe a little,
I mean, DXL
yeah, around there.
DXL will ebb and flow like that as well. I'm sure that those numbers will continue to increase over time. I remember you said the first meeting it was like just you and him, right? Or something along those lines.
Basically, and like it, me, him, and a few kids. Yeah, basically.
Just give it time, you'll see.
I mean, we have more now. We have this one family that always comes, and we're getting more. I feel it's pretty cool, and I also have a club at my middle school. Right down the road from me, literally, is a middle school, the same middle school that I graduated from, and in this last October, one of my old teachers hit me up and asked if I could like teach yo-yo during like their PE times, like for each grade, and I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. So like for each grade's PE, I did a thing where, hey, I'm this person. I went to school year to this school. I graduated here. I'm the national champion, and this is my video. And the teacher showed it on like the screen for them all to watch. And then I was like, this is Godspeed. This is the DNA. And now you guys are gonna learn tricks. And that's what I did for each class.
Did you
And
hand out
so,
yo-yos?
yeah, so my teacher in advance had bought these little $3, like they're the Dunkin' butterflies, those
Oh,
plastic
got you.
ones. He like bought several of those, like 30 or 50 or whatever. And so each kid got to yo-yo, which was really awesome. I want to get some Yo-Yo Factory yo-yos that are better for them to use.
I know that they will do those. You probably get some whips or
Yeah, I want some whips or
yeah, what
ones.
like ones? Ones are one. I think
Ones,
one
yeah.
is their go-to.
Yeah.
It used to be the Fast 201 back in the day,
Oh,
but
yeah.
that yo-yo was weird.
Yeah, so it got really, really big over there apparently, enough to where we could start a club. So now we have a club every week.
That's
And
perfect.
it got a decent amount of kids going. So
That's excellent.
hey, who knows? Maybe in a few years there'll be like a ton of like yo-yo kids in the yo-yo scene who are like, hey, we're from this small mountain town.
All coming out of Central California. Oh my God. That'll be really cool. That'll feed into your bigger club too. That's excellent.
Yep.
Well, cool. And it's also something that anybody can do. You can just get in touch with your school, go, hey, I got I'm the yo-yo person. Let me teach your people how to yo-yo.
That's another awesome thing about yo-yoing is that anyone can do it. It doesn't matter how small you are, tall, it doesn't matter gender or if you're like flexible or not or athletic or not.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of sports, like in football, you have to be really tall, big, and muscular to be a linebacker. Or for like a first baseman in baseball, you have to be really, really tall or they won't put you there. But it's like they don't. There's no qualities like that required for yo-yoing, which is awesome.
Yeah, completely. You can have the like really tall people like Kaizism, then like just totally do. You know what? I won't go naming people based off of their body shapes on a podcast. That's probably not a good idea. But you can have all kinds of different people doing yo-yoing, and it works. Yeah, unless you don't have arms. That one's a little bit tough. But you could probably have somebody doing yo-yos with their feet. I bet that's possible.
You can loop with your toe.
Yeah, you absolutely could. I am now interested in seeing that happen, and I hope that there's the first armless yo-yoer to start in yo-yoing soon. That would be really 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 cool.
What if there was a deaf person who like entered the yo-yo scene? Do you think like something like that would work?
A deaf person?
Yeah,
how would
like,
that affect
like a deaf
yo-yoing?
Person? No, I mean like for musicality and stuff, and like knowing, like, have you ever thought about that? Like, how would they know where or like when to start when they're on stage? Like the exact second they're supposed to stop and the exact second they end, or does someone else have to monitor that? Or like, does someone else choose their song for them? Or like, is it possible? Are they judged differently? Or I've always wondered about that for some reason.
It's a good starting point for a conversation on accessibility and yo-yoing, honestly, because there's probably someone who's deaf who isn't competing because they're just too scared of that. So I'd suggest if anybody who's listening to this knows something about the deaf community, wants to put input in, I would definitely figure out a way to get you in touch with Andre about that, or anybody who's I'd use whatever influence I have to help make that happen. So that could actually be an interesting starting point right there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I would imagine they would have a light that would go on, or maybe you could feel the music. But I don't know enough about the deaf community to talk on that one.
I don't know why that just came into my mind, but that that was just something totally random off topic.
Just thinking about it. No, it's a good question. I think we should always be asking those questions. We're kind of getting towards the end. I got like four more questions here. Mm-hmm. One is on your sponsorship journey, which I want to start with. I think you are in the exact right place right now. I need to say that up front. And I almost feel selfish having sponsored you, because I saw you and I was like, oh man, I need to get her before Yo-Yo Factory does. Because she has that Yo-Yo Factory style that would work so good with them. And I'm just like, oh my God. But so that's kind of when I first saw you, I was like, you're so, so good. You're clearly so talented, and you clearly have such good competition potential. And that's why I was like, oh my God, want to be sponsored? Like, you would be perfect. You'd be so, so perfect for this. And that's also why, now that we kind of realized that it just wasn't the right fit ultimately, and that's why I'm really happy to see that you're on Yo-Yo Factory like as of this month. So, so happy that's how it played out. Could you tell me about what it felt like from your side, and kind of what your journey has been like?
First off, I love you and always will. You're the best.
Likewise.
So it was awesome. I just got an email from Ben one day, and like we finally just like starting like chatting like 2 weeks ago about like team stuff, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. I don't know if like other people like view it like view getting sponsored in general with the same like enthusiasm as I do, but I take it very seriously. Maybe people who've been in the game longer doesn't feel like it's a big deal to them anymore. I don't know, but like to me it's a very big deal, especially when you were like a kid like 10 years ago first watching like yo-yo performances and learning, oh my gosh, apparently the best people are on Yo-Yo Factory, and like just thinking, oh, how cool would it be to like be on that team one day, and just like being like the height of your hopes and dreams for like so long, and have that actually happen is just like really, really cool.
Especially having Gentry as one of your early inspirations, I'm sure. That's incredible. So, looking forward from here, what's kind of your goals? Where do you see yourself in 2024 and beyond?
Let's see. Well, contest I want to go to. Well, one's next weekend, San Diego. That one's kind of homecoming for me because I went to college there for 3 years, so I lived there
What
for
college
three
were you at?
years. San Diego Christian College.
Excellent.
So not the state school, it was a Christian college. I always have to clarify that because people ask. Yeah, it was a little private school. I loved it. Had nothing but great experiences there. What do I want to do? I'm going to San Diego for a contest. After that, I want to go to Arizona State. I feel like that'll be a fun one to go to. I really want to see Yo-Yo Factory headquarters for the first time because I didn't get to last summer.
Oh, yeah.
And nationals and worlds are going to be the two biggest ones that I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
My
Defending
first
your title?
world's going to be so crazy. Yep, defending my title.
This will be my first worlds
unless,
too. We'll
oh,
get to
really?
experience that together. Yeah. I've never gone.
Ooh. I might even go to Florida State's next year because that looked fun last month. To see, I was seeing them at like, whose collection was it? The big place in Florida. Someone has that really
Is
big
it Doc
collection
Lucky?
there, like that huge Doc Lucky. That's who it
Yes.
is. I want to see that collection or that room. That just
It
looks so
looks
awesome.
so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I want to do more. I want to get more comp experience for sure is the goal.
You've still only done the one in person, haven't you?
Yeah,
So
I've only done one in-person contest so far.
you're gonna go from nationals to San Diego State or San Diego Classic yo-yo competition as your first and second contests. That's pretty awesome. Oh my God.
And then in 2 weeks from now, I'm gonna have that there's another online contest. It's the one that Daniel Borges is putting on. I forget the name of it now, but it's like the first weekend of February is when they're gonna
Is it
judge
that
it and
remote
post it,
yo-yo
I
league?
think.
Or is that a different one? That one might be different.
I think that's a
That one's
different
started by some
one.
like Swiss company that has nothing to do with yo-yoing, and I'm confused at it. And their logo is really ugly too. Not to talk bad on them, but I'm still confused at that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Daniel Borges just asked if I could participate, and I said yes. So it's a
Let's look them up.
it's just a 2-minute final. So
Okay.
I'm basically using, I'm I'm filming for that contest, but also at the same time prepping for San Diego next week because it's the same freestyle.
Is it the FDI International Online Yo-Yo Competition?
Yeah, that one, I think.
Okay, so that one's at FALANDODEIOIO. Falando di yo-yo. Oh, it's not in English is why I can't pronounce it. That'll do it. It might have already passed by the time this one gets posted, but if you're interested, go sign up for that one. Go join it for next year. Well, that's amazing. So I think that covers... anything else?
I feel like for online contests specifically is something I really want to grow into, because I'm noticing like online contests are so cool. There's no stress involved. There might be a lot of frustration because you have to like do hours and hours of like retakes, but like it's not stressful for me to film. Like I love filming personally. I could do that for hours, and I love the feeling of like laying out my backdrop like so perfectly, where it's like all black and just like setting the vibe with the lights. Like I know this video is gonna look so good. Like I love making videos look good. And like I love getting like clean takes of things. So again, for like my next prelim, I want to get like above 60 clicks. That's one of my other goals.
I know that when you state a goal, it tends to I trust that you'll be able to do that. I've got a similar goal, just as far as prelims next year. I just want to make it to semifinals at nationals is my goal right now. So we'll see if we can do that. You and I keep each other accountable. Well, that's awesome. Cool. So then I got two last kind of conclusion questions. Unless you have anything else that you want to add, anything that you want to share out to the yo-yo world.
Not off the top of my head. I think we got the majority.
I think we covered it all.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
I will ask you about the takeaway point for this episode. If there's anything that we talked about that really stuck with you that you really want people to remember. I've definitely got one if you still need some time to think.
when you find something you really like to do, like that one thing, just go at it 100% full throttle and just do that one thing.
Yep.
And that's how you get good at it.
That's exactly what I was going to say too, was that thing that your coach said of you can either be good at three things or great at one. And clearly you are becoming absolutely the best at this one. Last thing is there anybody else that you want to see? Just one name of someone who hasn't been on here that you'd really like to see interviewed?
I would love to see Bella on here.
Oh, Bella would be awesome on here. That's a great idea. Let me write that one down. Well, perfect. Then, Katie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yay! I'm glad we finally did it.
Likewise. It's been a long time coming, and congratulations on the new sponsorship, and I can't wait to see where you end up.
Thank you.
Well then, talk to you again soon.
All right.
Later.
Later.